It's 6:45. Good morning. I'm Anthony Morneau with KRWG News. Civil rights advocates are suing Immigration and Customs Enforcement for alleged substandard medical and mental health care. Houston Public Media's Elizabeth Troval reports.
The Southern Poverty Law Center and other advocacy groups say ICE failed to provide proper care to 15 detainees who were sick or had disabilities. Plaintiffs include a woman diagnosed with schizophrenia who they say was put in solitary confinement for 9 months. Another man with a brain parasite went a year without treatment, according to the suit. Civil rights lawyer Tim Fox says these problems are widespread.
The kinds of problems with things like short staffing and unqualified medical care providers and delays or denials of treatment just happen everywhere.
The lawsuit seeks to force ICE to improve treatment in facilities nationwide. ICE told Houston Public Media they don't comment on ongoing litigation. Texas holds nearly half of all ICE detainees nationwide. I'm Elizabeth Troval in Houston.
In more news, the American Civil Liberties Union of New Mexico has filed a second lawsuit on behalf of a woman who alleges repeated sexual abuse from a corrections officer while she was in the Springer prison. The lawsuit says her complaints were not taken seriously by prison administration. KUNM's Marisa DeMarco spoke with lawyer Lolita Moskowitz about the power prison guards have and how people in prison often fear retaliation for reporting sexual abuse and harassment.
Everything that you need as a person who's incarcerated, it has to happen through officers. So when you need medication, when you need food, and supervisors, so employment supervisors, have power over whether people can be employed, but also this comes up a lot where they have the power to say this person's not doing what they're supposed to do in their job, and so they can take away their good time credits. What taking away good time means is that somebody has to stay in prison for longer, and so that's really significant and maybe something that doesn't sort of immediately it occurred to folks that somebody can actually extend their incarceration.
What are the allegations in this lawsuit about how this correctional officer abused that kind of power?
In a number of ways, I don't want to use the word common, but I think sort of as women, we've all experienced some sexual harassment. And when you think about workplace sexual harassment, it started a little bit like that. Really inappropriate, vulgar comments, continuing on sort of with these threats. He sort of could say to her, don't report what I'm doing, don't report me, or I can take away your good time. And you have an environment where officers are much more likely to believe each other than they are to believe the women who are in prison there.
The lawsuit says the situation escalated. So what does the person bringing this case say the fallout or the impacts were for her?
For one thing, she felt really unsafe while all of this was going on in her workplace. And just that constant fear of what's he going to do. She started having really severe insomnia and anxiety. Even after she reported, he was still there. And then she had to hear about other women going through the same and more. And so it caused her, you know, really severe depression as well.
What are specific things that the state's Department of Corrections should change to make this situation better for women in the prison system?
Right now, particularly with the culture and climate the way it is in the prisons, it's incredibly difficult for women to come forward and report. There's all of this retaliation that happens. And then you have to live in an environment where your abuser still is. You can't escape it at all. And so when women have the immense courage to be able to come forward, the first thing the department can do is take it seriously, investigate. Don't allow these officers to remain in these positions of power. In addition, creating environments where officers don't feel like they can get away with this kind of thing, not having so many one-on-one situations as a starting point for some of the stuff that they could do, yeah.
Do you think that the new Department of Corrections Secretary, Alicia Tafoya Lucero, might work on making some of these changes?
We really hope so. As an office, the ACLU is hopeful that we can talk with this administration, work with the administration to make positive change. It's hard to know, but we're really hopeful that she'll be open to that.
The number of women incarcerated in New Mexico has been rising steadily over the last decade, and the women's prisons are overcrowded and understaffed, according to lawsuits and news reports and accounts from people who did time. Do you think those are factors in these sexual assault and harassment encounters?
Yes, I think that's absolutely a component of this. I hear all the time from clients who are in the prisons that if there's understaffing, there aren't guards who can supervise different kind of things. A lot can sort of go under the radar in different ways. And it can be really unsafe when there's somebody in need and there's not a guard, or there's one guard for however many folks and somebody needs help. We're really hoping that some change that will come in the next couple of years will incarcerate less people.
This is the second lawsuit like this that the ACLU has filed in New Mexico. Is there going to be more?
Yes, this is the second of at least three that we anticipate filing. It's hard to say if other things will come forward, but of course, there's other lawsuits going on, which I think can really demonstrate how pervasive this problem is. Yeah.
Thanks, Lalita Moskowitz.
Thank you.